At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
A warmer from the above, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we're going to be talking to Jared Smith. He does amazing work over here at VSiN. He does great work over at Fox Sports, Live on the Line, so much more. He's going to be joining me because he is our main man when it comes to yes run, no run first inning, how he's going to be playing that in the postseason as compared to how he played that in the regular season, some of the observations that he's had on that front. We're going to be taking a look at some of these wild card series. We're going to be taking a look at some futures with regards to playoffs as a whole. And in the final segment, unfortunately, we do not have any games on Monday, so that's absolute sadness. And these pitching matchups for Game 1 of these Wild Card Series on Tuesday, as I record this, are a little bit TBD. So I'll give you a little bit of an overview with regards to some of these series prices. I'm not too much of a futures guy, but we'll give you guys a few leans there. So we're going to be taking a look at these series, and I'll also give you guys why I really am not too much of an advocate for futures, and why instead a money line rollover might be a better way to be able to go about things rather than a futures ticket if you are feeling so antsy on that. As if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my X timeline at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter questions today, but we did have a fun day of baseball on Sunday to wrap up the regular season. So let's take a look back at it. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
The San Diego Padres get their second extra inning win of the season. 2-1, they take down the Chicago White Sox. The Padres go 82-80, obviously a disappointing season in general, and they went 9-23 in one-run game. So that was quite a sight to behold, but perhaps a little bit of upside here with Pedro Avila going 5 scoreless innings. From there, Ray Kerr, Scott Barlow, Tom Cosgrove, Josh Hader all pitch scoreless innings. And for Rich Hill, he gives up 1 unearned run in the extra innings in the 10th and the 11th. You got to figure that's the last time he's going to be out there on a major league mound, as he was 43 years old this season, as there were no runs scored, by the way, until the 10th inning. As for the White Sox, Jose Ureña, his best start of the year, 6 scoreless innings. From there, you had Yoan Ramirez, Garrett Crochet, Brian Shaw, Davey Garcia all lend a scoreless inning. And then you did have Declan Cronin give up an unearned run. You also had Garcia give up an unearned run as well, as they both did so in the 10th and 11th inning with the old ghost runner. And you did see the Minnesota Twins fall to the Colorado Rockies 3-2 in 11 innings. I'm an 11-inning game out there in Coors, and have that few runs is pretty wild, as Wade Leober actually looks in very good form going into the postseason, gave up a solo run over the course of 6 2/3 innings, as going deep off of him, Nolan Jones, 20th home run season. Sean Borchert, he had like 4 home runs in the final week and a half of the season. He goes deep off of Jorge Alcala, who gives up that solo run over the course of 2 innings. Cody Funderburk at scoreless inning. Yeah, Jordan Luplo, position player, pitch in the 11th inning. The Twins were clearly trying to bank their bullpen for the postseason, which is why you saw that happen. And Brock Stewart, he got an out of the bullpen as well as for the Twins. He stranded 14 men on base in this one as Connor Siebold, in a bulk effort, gives up 2 runs over the course of 4 innings. And then you had all these guys deliver 1 scoreless inning apiece. Matt Cook, Tyler Kinley, Justin Lawrence, Jake Bird, Nick Mears, Gavin Hallwell, Brent Suter. So the Rockies go out on top, but they also go out having lost 103 games this season. The Oakland A's lost their fair share of games this year and they go out with 112 losses, as the LA Angels, 7-3, they are able to get the job done as Carson Fulmer, 5 scoreless innings he had from there. Jose Suarez give up 2 runs over the course of 3 innings to Jimmy Herget. He was able to deliver a scoreless inning, as for the Angels, you did have a trio of home runs. Brandon Drury goes deep twice in this one, 25th and 26th home runs of the campaign, and Randall Grichuk is 16th, as J.P. Sears allowed 3 runs in 4 innings, including a pair of home runs, and then Kyle Muller gives up 3 runs over the course of an inning. From there, Mason Miller gives up 1 run in 2 innings, and you did have Zach Neale be able to supply a scoreless inning as well. If you're looking at most and least profitable pitchers in the big leagues, well, obviously Jordan Lyles, who went over the weekend, he has been a bad one, but your least profitable pitcher this year was Lucas Giolito. Our TK Network write-up pick for Sunday faded him, and it got the job done, 5-2 the final. If you bet $100 on every single one of Lucas Giolito's starts between his time with the Guardians, the White Sox, the Angels, you were down $1,585 this year, according to Oddshark. Gives up 5 runs in 5 innings. It starts made outside the city of Chicago. He had north of a 6 ERA this year, and he gave up a home run along the way. Going deep for Detroit, Matt Vierling, his 10th home run of the season. From there, you had Trevor Steven, Anyeli Los Santos, Nick Sandlin, all supply a scoreless inning, and then you did get a home run off of Eduardo Rodriguez, with Tyler Freeman being able to supply that. That was number 4 of the campaign, but for Rodriguez, 2 runs, one of which was earned over the course of 7 innings allowed, though that unearned run was due to his own error, so there's that. But Alex Lang, Will Vest, they both supply a scoreless inning, so Miguel Cabrera goes out a winner. The Pittsburgh Pirates go out winner, says they take down the Miami Marlins 3-0. By the way, that suspended game between the Marlins and the Mets will not need to be made up. The seeding is all set regardless of what would happen in that. So, fortunately, we do not have that strange situation going on. And in a strange situation with Ryan Weathers actually throwing a really, really good start. 6 scoreless innings from there. Oscar Brazoben, 8 scoreless innings, and then Brian Oeing. Well, he had a rough one, giving up 3 runs over the course of an inning. Meanwhile, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, you did have Andre 3000 Jackson give you 4 scoreless innings. And then from there, everyone in the bullpen got it done, as David Benar, Kyle Nicholas, Dory Moretta, they all supply a scoreless inning, as well. Aldo Beto, he was able to go for 2 scoreless innings as well. The Baltimore Orioles, they end the regular season with 101 wins and the 1 seed, though. They did lose on Sunday to the Boston Red Sox, just by a count of 6-1, as Kyle Bradish, he only went 2 innings in this one. This was clearly just a tune-up start for him. He went scoreless there. Cionel Perez allowed 4 runs in 2/3 of an inning, but that was due to the fact that you had 4 errors out there for the Orioles, so hopefully they got all those out of them before the postseason, as you can tell that they were just trying to get in work for all these guys. Danny Colomb allowed 2 runs, one of which was earned in his inning. Tyler Wells, Shotaro Fujinami, D.L. Hall, they all supply a scoreless inning. Yennier Cano and out of the bullpen, and then Cole Irvin, he goes for 2 scoreless. Meanwhile, for the Boston Red Sox, Tanner Houck, 1 hit allowed in 6 scoreless innings. Did have John Schreiber give up an unearned run in an inning, but Brendan Bernardino, Nick Robertson, they were both able to supply a scoreless inning. This was just a rough series in general for the Cubs, and the Cubs, they crater down the stretch, and they could not score a run in their final game of the regular season. 4-0, the Milwaukee Brewers are able to get the job done, and last thing that the Cubs saw was junk, as Jansen Junk, 2 2/3 innings scoreless to be able to close this one out. Adrian Hauser, 5 scoreless innings, and Andrew Chafin, 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Tyrone Taylor. He was able to go deep off of the Duffman for a home run number 10 of the season, as giving up that home run in two innings was Tyler Duffy, as Drew Smyly got the start and did not go well. He got one out. He gave up three runs, all of which were earned. From there, everyone else was pretty solid. Luke Little came up big, five outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. You had Shane Green supply two scoreless innings. Daniel Palencia two scoreless innings, but absolutely nothing doing with the bat for the old Chicago Cubs. The LA Dodgers, they end the regular season with 100 wins. They take down the San Francisco Giants by a count of 5-2 as Kike Hernandez had himself a game, 11th home run season. He's able to go deep off of Taylor Rogers, who gave up three runs in a third of an inning. How about Kyle Harrison, though? Nice upside from this prospect for the San Francisco Giants. Five scoreless innings. John Berbia, he was able to supply a third of an inning, giving up two runs along the way. And Ross Stripling, he does go for three and a third inning scoreless. A rare under for the Dodgers, by the way, as overall for the season, they end with 57.8% of their games overall going over. And if you look at road games, 64.9% of their games went over the total. But the best over team during the regular season, no shocker here, the Atlanta Braves. And they end the regular season with a massive over. They do lose to the Washington Nationals by a count of 10-9. But this game went well over the total, as Jackson Rutledge allows five runs over the course of five innings, including home run. Marcell Ozuna went deep twice, 39th and 40th home runs of the season, as he also went deep off of Kyle Finnegan in the ninth inning, who allowed that home run in his inning of work. Corey Abbott give up two runs in one and two-thirds innings. Jose Ferrar gets it out of the bullpen, and then Hunter Harvey, he allows a run in an inning of work as well. Meanwhile, for the Atlanta Braves, the Dodd father, Dylan Dodd, made an offer that the Washington Nationals could not refuse to just pound him into oblivion, giving up five runs over the course of six innings. Brad Ann from there, he gives up two runs in a third of an inning. Jesse Chavez, the scoreless inning. Joey Menez gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen, and then Michael Tonkin does give up three runs in the ninth inning that costs the Atlanta Braves a win, but they go into the postseason feeling pretty good. The St. Louis Cardinals, they go out winners, even though it was a very, very rough season for them. 4-3, the final, as the Cincinnati Reds were the top run line team, actually, in the big leagues during the regular season, hitting the run line at 59.9%. Now, that is because they were underdogs in a lot of spots, and this one they were a slight favorite, so no cover here, as Hunter Green allowed four runs over the course of five innings before he did have the bullpen do their part. Alex Young, a scoreless inning. Alan Busnitz was able to supply two scoreless innings as well, and you did have Nick Martina deliver his sixth home run season that came off of Miles Michaelis, but Michaelis settled down from there. 10 strikeouts, big rarity there. Gave up three runs over the course of seven innings as Michaelis, in starts in which he went at least one full inning. He gave up three runs or more in 11 out of his last 13. But the King, John King, and Ryan Elsley from there, they're both able to supply a scoreless inning to be able to get that one in. The Seattle Mariners not going to be going to the postseason, but after the month of July, they were a very... But from the month of July on, this was a very hot team. They take down the Texas Rangers by a count of 1-0 as Dane Dunning, 3 1/3 innings, gives up one run, piggybacked by Martin Perez, who was able to deliver 3 2/3 innings scoreless. Jonathan Hernandez, a scoreless inning, but nothing doing for this rock-solid Texas Rangers offense as George Kirby shut him down with six scoreless innings. From there, Isaiah Campbell, Trent Thornton, and Prelander Barrera, they were all able to supply a scoreless inning to be able to get Seattle a win to be able to close out the year on a high note. The Philadelphia Phillies head into the postseason on a high note as well. They take down the old New York Metropolitans by a count of 9-1 as the Mets were a very good home under team this season, as the Mets played 61.8% of their home games to the under for the Phillies. He did have a pair of home runs in this one. Alec Bohm, 20th home run season. Brandon Marsh is 12th, as for the Metropolitans, Jose Buto, not a bad start. He did allow one of those home runs, two runs in total over the course of six innings. And Danny Reyes, he did not have a good outing in this one. Five runs surrendered and 2 1/3 innings before Anthony Kay. He allows a pair of runs, including one of those home runs in 2/3 of an inning. Lone form of offense for the Mets. Tim LeCastro goes deep off of Nick Nelson. Second home run of the campaign for the Phillies. Matt Strom was his opener with a scoreless inning. Gregory Soto, Michael Lorenzo both supply a scoreless inning. Sir Anthony Dominguez, pair of outs out of the bullpen, and Nick Nelson allows that solo home run over the course of 5 1/3 innings to be able to give the team a little bit of momentum moving forward. For Zach Greinke, have to think that this is going to be his career finale, and he goes out on top. He ends the year 2-15 with regards to his record, but he got one of those wins on Sunday as the Royals get it done by a count of 5-2 as for Greinke. One run surrendered over the course of five innings. From there, Taylor Clark, he gives up a run in an inning, but Carlos Hernandez is scoreless innings. James MacArthur, two scoreless innings. And the Yankees, they avoid a losing record. They went 82-80, so the 30-year run of having a record above 500 is still intact, but for Kansas City, did have a trio of home runs off of the King and Michael King. Not a good way for him to end the season, as MJ Melendez, 16th home run season, at Olivares, his 12th, and Didion Blanco was able to get his third as the King. Well, he was not King on this one. Four runs surrendered over the course of four innings, including three home runs. Greg Weisert, he was able to supply a scoreless inning, and you had Johnny Brito come in for three innings. He allowed one run along the way. The Toronto Blue Jays have played a lot of home unders as far this season. About 58% of their home games have gone under. This was overwhelming, though. 12-8, the Tampa Bay Rays take them down. As for the Toronto Blue Jays, it was a Wes Parsons project, and that project did not go well. He gave up 9 runs over the course of 4 innings, including a pair of home runs. Manuel Margot, his 4th home run of the season. Then he had a home run number 2 of the campaign for one Mr. Jonathan Aranda. From there, he also did get home run number 1 for young 20-year-old Junior Caminero. Hopefully I said that correctly, as he's a young prospect for the Rays. I was able to get an opportunity that came off of Tim Mazo, allowed a run in an inning. Eric Swanson, Chad Green, they both supply a scoreless inning, but Trevor Richards, Genesis Cabrera, they both allow a run in their inning of work, and Taj Bradley did give one up to Brandon Belt. 19th home run of the campaign for Bradley, comes in relief, gives up that home run in his inning of work. Kevin Kelly, 1 2/3 innings, he allows a run, as he did have a win, but not necessarily the world's greatest outing from Jacob Lopez, who gave up 6 runs, 5 of which were earned in 5 1/3 innings. From there, you do have Andrew Kittredge be able to supply his scoreless inning to be able to get that one in. And then the Houston Astros, they were able to get an 8-1 win as they solidified their playoff spot. As for the Astros, very good start from Christian Javier. 6 scoreless innings. From there, Bennett Sosa, Hunter Brown, they both give you a scoreless inning. Rafael Montero, he gives up a run and an inning, but he got a pair of home runs as well off of the Arizona Diamondbacks, as Kyle Nelson, the opener, gives one up to Alex Bregman, 25th home run season. Then Jose Abreu got some fire recently, 18th home run season off of Mr. Luis Frias. For Frias, gives up 2 runs in 2 innings. Nelson, as the opener, got just 1 out, giving up 3 runs, 2 of which were earned, before 1 run surrendered in 2 innings by Justin Martinez. Miguel Castro throws a scoreless inning, but Bryce Jarvis does give up 2 runs, 1 of which was earned in 2 2/3 innings. And then the other Nelson, Ryan Nelson, he was able to give a scoreless inning as well. And if you're looking at things going into the postseason in terms of the trends of Major League Baseball, we have been seeing favorites sitting at about 57.8% thus far this season. 1386 and 1,011, but among these favorites, 351 in total have failed to cover the -1.5 run line. Meanwhile, unders, slight lead on overs, 1,163 unders, 1,154 overs. Meanwhile, over the last 30 days of Major League Baseball, it has been a little bit overwhelming, 197 to 185 in favor of overs, so that's a 51.6% hit rate to the over. Meanwhile, favorites, they struggled to end the season, 226 and 173 straight up. That's about a 56.5% hit rate to favorites. But among these favorites that were able to win outright, we saw a grand total of 59 fail to cover -1.5. And over the last 7 days, favorites really had a tough time covering the run line. 57 and 33 straight up for favorites, but 14 of them failed to cover the run line. Meanwhile, 53 unders and 34 overs in those final 7 days. So that's what we're all seeing right now in Major League Baseball, and that's what we're getting trend-wise. Coming next, let's take a look at the landscape of the playoffs, these wild card matchups, and how to play yes run and no run first innings with regards to playoff baseball with our good friend Jared Smith, who does amazing work here at VSiN, and he joins me next on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man, as Jared Smith. He does great work at so many different places. You're able to catch him every weekend on Fox Sports Radio, getting you set for college football action. The show Live on the Line over there, doing a great job whenever they need him on that front. He does great work with us over here at VSiN with his Yerfy Nerfy columns that he did all throughout the regular season, taking a look at a lot of our live betting coverage throughout the weekends as well. And you're able to follow him on the old X at Jared Lee Smith all together. Jared, you do so many things and you do some all so well. So always do appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it, bud. We have made it. The regular season is in the books. I have logged my final Nerfy of the year.
It's a whole bunch of data to be able to sift through, but as we know, playoff baseball, it is a little bit different than regular season baseball. And how do you play Yerfy/Nerfies this time of year? Because you've got so much data at your disposal from these teams, because you've got 162 data sets in total. But at the same time, we know that the temperatures are a little bit cooler this time of year. You know what you're getting with regards to these pitchers a little bit more, and you just get more top-end pitching in general.
I think if I learned anything from not only this regular season, but also postseason last year, is that the Yerfy is just a better bet. And I think a lot of it is the starting pitcher quality goes up and the bullpen usage goes up. So the starting pitchers don't last as long, and the bullpen gets brought in earlier in the actual games themselves. And I think that makes the first five and the full game totals a little trickier. I'll probably bet some sides in the postseason for the first time, but when I looked at the Yerfy numbers from last postseason, the Nerfy hit more times. It was 22 and 18 in 40 postseason games. But the Yerfi was actually flat units wise. So despite the fact that it was only hitting at 45%, it still finished almost dead even profitability wise. It was down a quarter of a unit. And again, I track these at one of the offshore books, so we get pretty fair lines. And I would even say that because the Nerfy is juiced higher, usually at the books that we shop at, if you did a few of the, you know, onshore books, you might have even gotten positive money on the Yerfi from the postseason last year. So I think the lower totals and the urgency to get to the starters quicker before the bullpen comes in, to me, always leans Yerfi in the postseason.
And I do think that that's so interesting to take a look at, because you always do get trustworthy starters when it comes to postseason. It's not like anymore you're going to be seeing like Taylor Clark as an opener for Alec Marsh of the Royals or anything like that. And do you just attribute it to, because with regards to postseason, you know what you're getting with regards to these lineups. A lot of people do think that it's like, man, it's postseason baseball. Scoring is always going to be at a premium. And certainly I do think that scoring does go down with regards to postseason. But I have noticed that there have been a lot of games in the postseason over the last few years in general that they do get off to like a hot 3-2 start after three innings, something like that. And then the bullpens just hold it down for a very long time because these bullpens, they are just so much more loaded than they are during the regular season, with a lot of these like number four, number five starters being guys that actually come out in like the fifth and sixth inning.
But that's another point. The best bullpens usually tend to make the playoffs, first of all. I think that's a prerequisite, frankly, and I don't have this up, but if you go back and you look this year at the top 10 ERA bullpens, I bet like seven or eight of them are probably in the playoffs. And same thing with the starting rotation. I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise, but my point being, the arms are elite on these teams. And then another wrinkle to this is usually the fifth or sometimes even the fourth starter on these teams will get placed in the bullpen during the postseason. So it adds even another flamethrower type arm. Like to me, the ideal example of this is when the Yankees did it with Jabba Chamberlain, and they all of a sudden moved him to the bullpen at going from a starter role. And I know this is a long time ago, but as a Yankees fan, it was like just yesterday for me. And then he all of a sudden took the world by storm. So I think there's a lot of instances of starting pitchers also coming in to relieve. And it makes the starting pitcher's job a little bit easier. But also what it does is it puts urgency on the offenses. I just think the offenses know the first, second, third innings. It usually comes in bunches too. You saw it with Luis Castillo, just kind of unravels for him in that playoff atmosphere. Overall, I would lean on the starting pitchers getting gotten too early. That's just the vibe on a lot of these elite arms.
Out of the top 10 bullpens with regards to ERA in the big leagues, seven of them made the playoffs. The three that did not, the New York Yankees, which obviously their pitching was fine, and we know why they didn't make the playoffs. I'm looking at you, the entirety of the offense, not named Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres. The Seattle Mariners, who they were pretty much the first team out of the playoffs, and the San Diego Padres, who they literally lost 12 straight extra inning games before winning their final two of the regular season when it was too little too late, and it was just a comedy of errors for them. So to your point, typically a lot of these better bullpens, they are out there in the postseason. As joining me on the show, we do have Jared Smith. He does tremendous work over here at VSiN, and when it comes to just looking at things a little bit more with regards to a futures, a series sort of perspective, how do you view this? Because I do think that with regards to the National League, there is that big bad wolf of the Atlanta Braves, and I'd be surprised if they aren't able to make it to the World Series. We've said that so many times when the Dodgers have won 100-plus games and have been the one seed, and we've seen them time and time again slip up. So it's baseball. Anything can happen, but I certainly do think that they should be the rightful favorite out there in the National League. But I look at the American League side of things, and I think that it is wide open, because I think that these teams are very tightly knit together, and every single team in the American League, they've got their strengths and they've got their weaknesses.
I think in the American League, I would absolutely take Toronto as a dog. I think the Blue Jays have a more complete team than Minnesota, who's also dealing with some injuries. Correa and their a star, Royce Lewis, their rookie, banged up at the end of the year. And I think Toronto's one of those teams that has all of the pieces they need. And the fact that they're an underdog, they're on the road, so that makes sense. But I think that that's an underdog price I would look at. Rays, Rangers. I think the Rays move on. I think Rays, Orioles is a good ALDS. I think Blue Jays, Astros is a good ALDS. I think on the National League side, I want to take the Diamondbacks so hard because the Brewers have just been a fade for me. But I'll be honest, I was wrong about the Brewers. So at the All-Star break, I bet under win totals live on both of the NL Central contenders at the time. It was the Brewers and the Reds. The Reds came home. The Brewers just kept adding and kept winning games. They had a 9-game winning streak at one point in the second half. So maybe I'm not giving Milwaukee enough credit for what they have. And, you know, they do have two ace starting pitchers in Woodruff and Burns. And I think the offense leaves a little something to be desired. But they added Santana and Cannon. They've got a little bit of, I would call it experience on offense. I don't know if I would call it explosiveness. Philly should get past Miami, but let's be honest. No one wants to lay 80 cents in a best of five series. So I think maybe Miami wins game one. You come back on Philly to win that series. But I would be surprised if it's not a Philly Atlanta or a situation where Atlanta doesn't, you know, have an advantageous situation in the NLCS.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And I do think that it does get a little bit tough to play futures as well, because in the final segment, I'm going to be diving through what we're taking a look at with regards to series price, what have you. And I do think that with regards to a futures perspective, if you have yet to dive in on any of these teams, perhaps doing a little bit of a money line rollover is something to take a look at. I personally am a little bit more of a game-to-game guy, but I don't know how you view this, but I do think that just looking at futures, it can be a little bit rough. And even like you were mentioning with regards to Phillies versus Miami Marlins, some of these series prices do get a little bit out of whack as well. But if you are looking at anything, I would think that just a little bit of a rollover would be a much better bang for your buck rather than a future. Plus, it adds a little bit of added protection as well in case of injury and or a bad matchup.
The series prices, and I do this a lot in hockey and basketball. If you were going to ask me the best way to bet any postseason in sports, it is the series prices. Obviously, we don't have that opportunity in football, which is what makes football so unique in terms of the postseason, the one and done, and the college basketball tournament as well. Obviously, the one and done element to it, it creates so much variance and so much insanity and madness, right? But I think the series element to baseball and basketball and hockey, obviously focusing on baseball here, I think it eliminates just enough of the variance to make me feel comfortable with laying it on a favorite price or with taking an underdog. Whereas one game, anything can happen. And I think a 5-game series, I'm less inclined. And even so, a 3-game series with the wild card, I'm even less inclined, because you don't eliminate as much variance. There is still one game matters so much in especially a 3-game series that, yeah, game to game, I think makes sense in the wild card round. Whereas maybe in the LDS, I would be a little bit more inclined to bet a series price. In a 7-game series, that is where I really favor a series price, because I really do think you captured the full, you know, snapshot of what those teams are.
Yep, and fortunately with baseball, it's not like where you get the NBA, for instance, because in the NBA, I still remember when the Bucks lost to the Miami Heat, they were like -1,000 with regards to that series price, which I guess that means that there was value on the underdogs with regards to the 2023 NBA postseason. And joining me on the show, we do have Jared Smith. He does tremendous work here at VSIM, but I do think that that is something that helps out as well. Much like with hockey, you do have much shorter series prices than you're going to find in a lot of other sports as well. And are there any teams that you might be willing to back with regards to some of these series prices? Because I was laying it out in the National, like, I just don't think any team knocks off the Atlanta Braves. If there's a team that you think could be a little bit of a dark horse, I would love to hear it. But I think that the Atlanta Braves are that team with regards to the National League. And I know that you were making a nice case for the Toronto Blue Jays in the American League.
Yeah, I think I'd be willing. Again, I'm seeing the prices on DraftKings now. I'm seeing Toronto +105 and Minnesota -125 in the wild card. I would take Toronto in that series as a money line dog. I think they have more experience. I don't love their starters. In fact, I think Minnesota might have an edge starting pitcher wise, but I think the Blue Jays have an edge in the bullpen, and I think they have a little bit of an edge in terms of the power. None of the other series prices really jump out to me. I think I like the favorites in the other three, but I'd be interested in what the game to game prices are. It looks like game one is live. I'm seeing Tuesday's money line prices are up right now. So Toronto's +105 in the series, but they're -105 in game one. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. My guess is Toronto as an underdog in the series probably closes around what the game one price is. That tends to be a bookmaker trick a lot of times, especially in shorter series. The game one price for a tight series will likely resemble what the series price is. And if it isn't, then you might have some value on one side or the other.
Yeah, but I think that that's always a good way of being able to take a look at it as well. And then if you're taking a look just to be able to win the World Series right now, would there be any team that stands out to you that might be able to knock off the Atlanta Braves? I know that I keep going to the Atlanta Braves, but I just feel like they are that big giant favorite right now, even though we have seen that injury to Max Fried. I know that Charlie Morton has went down with an injury, but I just take a look at this team and I feel like they have been hands down the best team in all of baseball thus far this season.
They do. The best team does not always win, though. The Phillies are the case in point of that. I would definitely not bet the Braves. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
it's fair to think that they are the best team. I mean, there's no evidence to support the contrary right now. But the baseball postseason, man, oh man, the way that the momentum shifts, and especially from game to game, I think there's going to be a point in this postseason where we probably think Atlanta's not the team. Now, maybe they end up coming back, or they're down 3-1 in a series and they win three straight. All of those things are very much on the table, but I would definitely not be betting the tippy top of the futures market at this stage. I wouldn't, frankly, even consider the Dodgers or the Astros. I think the Orioles at 7-1 is really the first rung I would even consider betting. Because think about it, the Orioles have the best record in the American League. They're the third best team on the odds board. So I think that you can make a case for some quote-unquote value. Whereas if they win the LDS and they get to the LCS, how are they not favored in a best of seven against the Astros with home field, or at least coin flip, right? So I think Baltimore plus 650 is the first place I would look. I wouldn't even consider the top three teams. Phillies at 13-1 makes sense. If there is a team that can beat Atlanta, it's a team that's already beaten them. And I think that's the only argument logically you can make for Atlanta right now at this stage to be upended.
Yeah, with the Atlanta Braves, I think that the big thing that could be able to derail them is if they run into a team with some really good pitching, and if the Brewers draw them in the NLCS, the offense is a little bit suspect. That's the one team I think could be able to give them some fits. That's a team that is on my radar with the way that Freddie Peralta has been performing. I like Brandon Woodruff and that back end of the bullpen. Abner Uribe, Hobie Milner, Joel Piamps, along with Devin Williams, all give you a sub-275 ERA during the season. That is a team that could make things a little bit interesting, but we shall see when we get there. But what we do know is that, Jared, you're doing absolutely amazing work on so many different fronts, taking a look at this great game of baseball. But on top of that, you do impeccable work with regards to all of your football work. I know on top of that, sooner rather than later, basketball is going to be back in our lives as well. You're going to be doing a great job there. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
At Jared Lee Smith on all socials. Keep an eye out. I'll be doing some VSiN shows next week. I'll be in for Sean King early this week on primetime. And then next weekend, I'll be doing some weekend programming. I'll be in for JVT on his College Lines Revealed show, which is a really fun show on Sunday mornings. And then Saturday night, I'll be on with Adam Kaufman and the Bet Prep team. So lots of fun stuff ahead. Obviously, football becomes the focus, and we can kind of narrow our sights on some of these playoff series. But the marathon that is our baseball regular season journey has concluded, Greg. It has been a ride.
Oh, it certainly has been a ride. And even though the regular season is done, that just means that it gets to be very, very competitive. I don't know if it's quite there with playoff hockey. Playoff hockey is just something that is completely different. But playoff baseball, it is absolutely amazing. I am so gassed up for it. I know that Jared is as well. It's going to be a fun run. And every single time we get Jared on the show, he lends tremendous insight. So big thanks to Jared Smith for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast coming up next. Well, we don't have any games for Monday, but we do have some series prices, so we're able to take a look forward there. And I'll give you guys a little bit of a lay of the land as to why I prefer Moneyline rollovers with regards to series rather than features. So we dive in on that next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It's always great to be able to get Jared Smith aboard. He does amazing work over here at VSiN. Taking a look at yes run, no run with regards to baseball. Doing a great job on the football front. Getting gas up for basketball, and so much more every time he joins this podcast. Lends absolutely tremendous insight, so big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. And now it is that time of the podcast that I just give you a little bit of a lay of the land with regards to, for one, these four wildcard series that we are going to be getting into, why I was advocating a little bit more in segment number one, and hear my conversation with Jared Smith, why taking a look at futures right now just isn't worth it. And if you really are jonesing for it, like, I mean, I personally am myself a game-to-game better. I'm not someone that really bets series. I'm certainly not someone that bets futures. I might be willing to consider maybe a series bet or two throughout the postseason, but certainly not going to be diving in on the futures front. And the biggest reason why is because, with regards to futures, you're locked in for the entirety of the postseason. That's why they call it a futures. Meanwhile, if you bet series to series, you're only betting on what is going to be a small sample size, and that gives you the opportunity to be able to play it with each individual series as its own. Like, if you, for instance, we were talking about the Toronto Blue Jays in the last segment with our good friend Jared Smith. If you think that the Blue Jays have a good matchup with everyone in the American League except for the Tampa Bay Rays, we're just spitballing a name out there, and let's say that the Toronto Blue Jays, they actually do match up with the Tampa Bay Rays, you've already made some money on taking them in the first few series, you're able to walk away from the table with your winnings. Meanwhile, with regards to that future, you're maybe banking on them being able to avoid the Tampa Bay Rays. They get the Tampa Bay Rays, sorry, out of luck there. And then obviously the biggest concern that you always have with futures is injuries. Like, let's say that for the Toronto Blue Jays, they have Yusei Kikuchi and Kevin Gausman fall off the roller coaster before the divisional round of the playoffs, and they are unavailable. All of a sudden, what was looking like a good look on the Toronto Blue Jays is now going to mush, because now they're going to be having to trot out their just some schlubs to be able to replace Kevin Gausman along with Yusei Kikuchi. You just never know when this is going to happen, and this gives you a little bit of insurance. And on top of that, you take a look at just what we've got with regards to World Series futures right now. The Atlanta Braves are plus 330 at DraftKings. The Dodgers are plus 425, and always you be shopping around for the best of the number, by the way, because you always want to be getting as much bang for your buck as humanly possible. Like, the Orioles are plus 650. The Houston Astros, they're plus 450. But I think that you just actually maximize a lot of what you're going to be able to get if you do a little bit of a rollover. Like, we were talking about it with Jared Smith. With regards to the Toronto Blue Jays, we're going to utilize them as an example. They are plus 105 in their series against the Minnesota Twins. So let's say that you're starting out with $100. You put down to get that plus 105, then get the job done. Now you've got $205 at your disposal. Whereas if you put $100 on a future at 16-1 with the Blue Jays, you'd be winning your $100 back plus $1,600 when it's all said and done. So you want to map it out, try to see if you're able to get a little bit more money with the Blue Jays. Let's say that the Blue Jays, they get the job done. Their next series are going to be facing off against the Houston Astros. And against the Houston Astros, you've got to think that they're going to be some sort of an underdog. I personally think that plus 130 is probably a very conservative number here, but we're going to go plus 130. So you multiply by 1.3, and now if you've rolled it over to this point, you're at $471.50. That goes into the championship series. Let's say that now they draw the Baltimore Orioles. And let's say that they're plus 110 against the Baltimore Orioles. And I think that they would probably be even bigger underdogs than this. But now, if you have done the money line rollover to this point, you've got going into the World Series $990. And whoever they're facing off against in the National League, they're probably not going to be an underdog against. If they're facing off against the Atlanta Braves, they are going to be a hefty underdog. Against a team like the Phillies, they're probably in a pick'em price. And I mean, if they're even just a pick'em in the World Series, you'd be able to at $1,980.30 with regards to doing this rollover on conservative prices, rather than trying to go with putting down $100, you'd get your $100 back plus $1,600 if you went with the feature. This is why you do a rollover. You get added protection. You get a bigger payout in a lot of times. And plus, you just are able to avoid some of that volatility in general. You're able to play the matchup itself. And let's say that you're completely out on the Toronto Blue Jays as well. You can flip it over to someone else that you like as well. So it gives you so many different options. Don't bet a futures at this point, in my opinion. Always go with a rollover and or do what I typically do. And that's game to game. And if you are taking a look at these series prices right now, we've got all four out currently on DraftKings. The Tampa Bay Rays in their series against the Texas Rangers, they are minus 155 plus 130 on the Texas Rangers. And we do know that Tyler Glasnow is going to be going in game number one for the Rays. As of right now, it is TBD for the Texas Rangers. And I just don't see how the Rangers are going to be able to pull out this series, personally. Just because with the Rangers, they just don't have enough pitching to be able to do so. With the Texas Rangers, yes, this is an absolutely tremendous offense. And can the Rangers win the series? Oh, certainly. There's no series I take a look at here and I think, oh, that team is just completely dead to rights. And anything could happen in a three-game series. Heck, the Houston Astros were the number two seed in the American League. They, a little bit over a week ago, got swept at home by the Kansas City Royals, a dead Kansas City Royals team. So, I mean, there's nothing here where it's like, oh, this team is like a slam dunk block or anything like that, but just take a look at it, and I think that with the Tampa Bay Rays, all the pitching depth that they've got, they've went through some injuries as well with Jose Siri being out of the fold. You've got, obviously, Brandon Lau has been dealing with their injury. You've got Wander Franco who's dealt with it as well, but they've done a good job of mixing and matching with regards to all of their pitching. The bullpen, it is far better as well, and we were talking about this with Jared Smith as well. You do want to be looking at bullpen pitching when it comes to this time of year because that is something that plays to the big giant disadvantage of the Texas Rangers. They have by far the worst bullpen in terms of ERA of any team to be able to make the postseason. They were 24th in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA this year at a 4.77. The next worst bullpen to be able to make it to this point, the Miami Marlins with a 4.38 ERA in the bullpen. That was 21st in the big leagues. Like, for the Texas Rangers, they were on par with the likes of the LA Angels and the Chicago White Sox, who had 4.88 bullpen ERAs this season. They were closer than that of the Miami Marlins, who had a 4.38. So I think that is really going to be nipping the Texas Rangers in the tuchus. You really do need pitching this time of year, and I think that's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for them not coming in the world's greatest form. I'm completely with Jared Smith. You've got the Twins at minus 125 and the Blue Jays at a plus 105 with regards to this series, and we do know that Pablo Lopez going to be going for the Minnesota Twins in Game 1. And I have to think that the Blue Jays are going to go with Kevin Gausman. Gausman was supposed to start on Sunday. He got skipped. I think it was to line him up for this start. And considering that, you've had Yusei Kikuchi pitch relatively well towards back half of the season. The Blue Jays have been one of the better bullpens of the big leagues as well. And the Minnesota Twins have some question marks as well. They're getting Brock Stewart back, but you don't know what you're going to be able to get out of him. Yoan Duran has been a relatively solid reliever. And for the Minnesota Twins, they've gotten more offense here in the second half of the season. They've been a top five team in the American League with regards to runs per game here in the second half of the season. But it has been a big giant roll of the dice. They do swing and miss quite a bit. And for the Toronto Blue Jays, they're a far better team with regards to their offense on the road than they are at home as well. I think that the ballpark dimensions of Toronto actually really hurt them this season. As you look at Toronto, they're averaging 5 runs per contest when they're on the road, about 4.2 runs per game at home. I personally do like the Blue Jays in this series, so being able to get them at plus money, I actually do think that that is going to be a very solid look. You take a look at that Phillies versus Miami Marlins series, you got the Phillies currently at minus 180, plus 150 on the Miami Marlins, and for the Marlins, it's been a magic carpet ride to be able to get here. They have the fewest one-run losses of any team in all of baseball, and the second most one-run wins of any team in all of baseball. They have made it here with a negative 56 run differential. I do think that the Philadelphia Phillies should be able to dominate this one personally, but again, do you really want to be laying minus 180 on a best-of-three series? Probably not, even though with the Philadelphia Phillies, they have Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler set up to be able to pitch in this series. They've got all of their arms. And the one thing that I will say about the Philadelphia Phillies, you just never know what you're going to be able to get out of an Aaron Nola start. He has not been himself this year. It has been very glaring to be taking a look at that. But with this Philadelphia Phillies team, I do think that in general, they should be able to do a solid job in this ordeal, even though if you look at the series that these two teams played in September, the Miami Marlins actually did take 2 of 3 with regards to that series as well. But now you've got all of your top pitchers lined up for the Philadelphia Phillies. And on top of that, with the Miami Marlins, Sandy Alcantara being on the injured list has been a big, giant issue for this team. They don't have Eury Pérez, so they've got Aceless Lizardo who's going to be going in Game 1. You got to figure that Game 2 goes to Braxton Garrett. Who in the heck pitches in Game number 3 if you have those two guys out there in Game 1 and Game 2? Edward Cabrera, probably, and then a poo-poo platter of, like, Johnny Cueto and guys like this. The injuries have just really taken hold. Luis Arraez has been dealing with injuries as well. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, they've gotten much more depth with regards to their lineup as well, with guys outside of Kyle Schwarber being able to go yard, with the emergence of Trey Turner towards the back half of the season. Bryce Harper has been able to come alive. I like Nick Castellanos as well, so I would not be willing to take the Miami Marlins at a plus 150 with regards to this series. And then with Brewers versus Diamondbacks, Brewers are minus 160. And again, this is a case where I would be leaning towards a favorite. Now, with the Arizona Diamondbacks, if they line up Zach Gallen just right, I think that they can pick off a game in this series. But keep in mind the home and road splits of Zach Gallen, as Zach Gallen has been tremendous when he has been at home all season long. A sub 250 ERA. He was a Cy Young candidate for much of the season on the road. And we find this a lot with regards to these Arizona Diamondbacks pitchers in general. They just have been vastly different when they've been away from home. If this was a series that was played in Arizona, honestly, I do think that there would be a chance that they would be able to get the job done, as I was referring to it with Zach Gallen in terms of his home and road splits. As on the road, he's got a 4.42 ERA, but that trickles down to Merrill Kelly. Merrill Kelly, throughout his career, has had an ERA north of a point higher when he's been on the road rather than when he's been at home. And outside of Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, what do you have with regards to pitching depth for the team? You got to think that Brandon Pfaadt probably gets a start if this is a series that is tied up 1-1. Now, I will give the Arizona Diamondbacks credit. Going into the weekend, they were actually a top three team with regards to bullpen ERA in the month of September. I still don't have a lot of faith in guys like Miguel Castro, along with Kyle Nelson, guys like this. They were dealing with injuries with guys like Scott McGill and company, and they really fell off towards the second half of the season as well. And we were talking about it with Jared Smith. Bullpen pitching for the Milwaukee Brewers. I will say it once again. You've got Ebner Uribe, Joel Piams, Hobie Milner, Devin Williams. All of these guys have been able to provide a sub 250 ERA thus far this season. These guys have been absolutely lights out. And then you pair that up with the fact that you've got Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta for a three-game set. You tell me how the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to get by. Yeah, I know that the Milwaukee Brewers are certainly not lighting the world on fire with regards to their offense, but what are the Arizona Diamondbacks doing with regards to their offense as well? Christian Walker has went about as cold gets for the Diamondbacks each of their last five games in the regular season. Three runs or fewer as well. Four runs or fewer in, I believe, six out of their last eight. So this Diamondbacks offense isn't in good form, and they don't have the pitching of the Milwaukee Brewers. So really, with regards to the wild card series, I could advocate for one underdog with the Toronto Blue Jays, but certainly going to be taking a look at this game to game, because even though I don't like, really, like I said, the Arizona Diamondbacks in their series against the Milwaukee Brewers, there might be a spot to be able to pick them off. Certainly with the Texas Rangers, Jordan Montgomery and his start, there might be a chance for you to be able to find a little bit of value on the Rangers in that spot as well. And then with the Minnesota Twins, they've got really good pitching as well. So even though I do like the Blue Jays with a plus price with regards to that series, being able to take a look at the Minnesota Twins when they do throw Sonny Gray, that's something I might be taking a look at as well. So hopefully that was entertaining and informative for you, because we just don't have any games on Monday. But that said, we're going to be back at it on Tuesday. I'll have my write-ups all throughout the postseason as well, so have no fear there. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to fire those in. First one is my X timeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Otherwise, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated from there. You're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks to Jared Smith, who does amazing work here at VSiM, for joining me in the last segment. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'll be back with you once again tomorrow, as we'll be back with some postseason picks and analysis. So, appreciate you guys sitting in today. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.